You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. This is AfterBuzz TV for Season 3, Episode 2 of Jersey Shore. Tonight's host is Kevin K-Wow Undergaro. Joining Kevin will be AfterBuzz's co-host, Brant the Body Panvinich, Roxy Rookie Stryer, and Phil the Thrill Svitek. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Jersey Shore news and gossip. We want to hear from you, too. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 347-855-8269. That's 347-855-8269. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Kevin K-Wow Undergaro.
Thank you very much, Rich. I'm so excited to be here. I'm sober today because, you know, a little bit of a letdown from our premiere episode. 8.5 million viewers. That's right. Right, Brent?
Yeah, 8.5.
A record for MTV last week in the ratings.
That is crazy.
Network numbers, baby, for our favorite show. Anyway, tonight we see the return, more of the return to Jersey. We see Dina and Snooki, of course, having more adventures. We see Sammy versus the entire house. Ronnie and Sammy missing a family dinner. And then, of course, Ronnie and Sammy, their relationship disintegrating and a whole lot of other stuff. It opened. I was really excited to open this episode with J-Wow Sammy 2. And I was a little bit underwhelmed by it. I thought it was broken up too quickly. I don't feel like...
They didn't talk about it after. You know, they got in the fight, and then it was done with. I'm over it.
Hair was pulled. Whose hair, by the way, got pulled out?
It was Sammy's.
That massive tuft of hair?
Was that? I thought it was J-Wow.
Oh, I thought it was Sammy's.
Yeah. Really?
It might have been Jay's, though.
So do you think... Who do you think lost Super Fight 2? Super Fight 1
went... That had to be a draw. You know, the problem was they went from blows to the grab and the nails and the scratching right away.
So a draw.
Anybody watching lost.
Yeah. And what happens is
unfortunate scene.
When the girls get into the hair pulling and the scratching, you got to break them up because then they ugly themselves up too.
But did you notice that? And Brant here, you know, it's great because Brant's a producer of many, many shows and has developed much reality television over the years. Did you notice the two... production people come in to break up the fight at the very end?
No, absolutely.
That's very non-Jersey Shore. I mean, from what we've seen, usually it's like they let it go right to the end. But yeah. Did you notice someone came in, right?
And
by the way,
break that up.
And just for those of you listening, our special segment will be talking with Brant about producing reality TV, as well as the executive producer of Jersey Shore, Sally.
You. I should have announced that. Yeah. Sally Salzano, you know, who's the creator of the show, and my God, what a show she's creative. And you filled me in
from the very, very beginning years and years
and I,
ago.
And like, so you stunned me with some of the things you told me.
Lots of fun stuff.
I'm
about
really
it,
excited so, yeah. to get in your head about that.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about where before I probably am jumping around a little bit, but we're back in Jersey now. You know, the first episode was they just all got to the house, so we're just in the house. We're getting drunk, and we're really getting to know Deanna last week. But now we're back on the club scene. We're back in Jersey. So I noticed, I mean, a lot of things. I mean, did you notice the amount of grenades and chodes compared to South Beach? Like, oh, my God, welcome home.
Well, it also felt like they noticed it, too. You know,
really?
I felt like when they were there, they're kind of going through the motions. Like, they were putting on their own little show, you know. In the first season,
they knew the girls.
When they were going out, they were really on the prowl.
The first season. Yes.
This was a completely different group there.
Well, now they're being hunted.
That's right.
Before they were hunting. You know, we can talk about the differences between this season from Miami, but we can also talk about the differences between this season from the first season, which is when they actually were in Jersey Shore.
Right.
And it's completely different now. You know, now that they have this fame and that they are going out and people are actually stalking them. We saw Vinny get followed by this one chick tonight. Yeah. And it's like, all right, what the hell? I don't want to watch them be stalked. I want to watch them and think they're normal people and watch them live their lives. I don't want to see the fame like
that. See, I kind of liked it because now they've become such characters in our sort of lives and in pop culture. I actually want to see a little. I would actually want to see more of the reaction of what regular people respond to them. Like, now he's a situation that you've seen, and then he's popular.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a different vibe that I think. And I thought, you know, them going back to work and stuff was a tougher sell for me because it's like, well, now we know they don't need to work.
Right. Yeah. I felt like that at the ice cream store back in Miami. I felt the exact same thing. Like, why? But it's interesting. If you were producing the show, would you break down the fourth wall, so to speak, and allow people to come up and say, oh, my God, situation, can I get my picture with you?
I don't think so because
so you keep it the way it's going.
I think you just keep it the way you keep that core audience. You know, I used to be the head of program for TLC when John and Kate Plus 8 launched.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Wow. One of the main problems that we had was that John and Kate, they didn't have jobs. John used to have a job. And then they made all this money touring around talking about raising 8 kids. All of a sudden, he's not working. He's in the house all day. So we had to send him to do stuff.
You had to give him things to do.
Yeah, because you don't want the audience looking at a bunch of lazy people that don't have to work. Like, there is something about it that you need to have.
Well, you know, Situation has said that in interviews. He's like, you know, we don't have TV. We just have the little duck phone. Right. He's like, and you really need to find, even to entertain people, he's thinking of the audience at home. He's like, so he's constantly trying to figure out things to do, you know, whether it's going to get a bacon.
And the gold moments from that group come from when they're just being them and being real. So you got to put them in situations that force them into their everyday patterns, into the life that they're used to, the situation, if you will, of them as a dynamic. And when they're celebrities and when they're being pampered and everything's taken care of them when they're not filming, that's a different group. When you're at the shore, when you're in that house and you're supposed to be a dynamic family together,
bunk beds and little beds, like
you got to put them through those paces so that they fall into those patterns again. And right, that's Brett, exactly what happened.
Not to cut you off, but I Maria Menounos is, Corey, is she on the phone?
This is our mini Mari Fagel.
Mari from New York. It's past her bedtime. Yeah, no. Put Corey. Can you put her through? Mari, our old friend and After Buzz Coast. I haven't heard from her in a while.
What was the nickname we gave her?
Mari the mathematician.
Mari.
No, Mari's a serious reporter, so it's always fun to have her. Online. Mari, are you there? Mari, we're not hearing you.
She's doing some serious reporting somewhere else, apparently.
She must have heard about it at bedtime.
Corey, if you get her through, let us know. Or put her through, and Mari, just speak up and interrupt us. So I'm sorry. So, Brad, go back to what you were saying. So, you know,
I think the way that they've structured it is definitely the way to do it. It's the best sort of system for people watching.
Keep them in the Jersey Shore fishbowl.
Right.
That's right. And let them get out of their, hey, I'm a celebrity and everybody wants to talk to me, and into, like, exactly the pattern of life that they were used to, that they grew up with, that they experienced. And it doesn't take them long before they fall right back into that. You know, you take them out of Jersey, you can't take the Jersey.
But, yeah, right. you see, you can peel the layers away.
I definitely think that it's one or the other, though. You know, I was saying before that I feel like I don't want to watch these people come up to them, and I don't want to watch that, but it's one or the other. You know, if we're going to start seeing it trickle in a little bit, it's just going to look fake if they're cutting it off at a certain point, you know?
I felt the kickball thing, to be frank, was a little fake. Okay. I felt it was like the girls trying. They were just trying. Like, let's create. Let's create a moment. Let's create a moment. Let's create. You know.
No, I don't know if I agree with that, but but I do see what you're saying.
I don't know about producers creating a moment, but I go back to Mike the Situation admitting that he's always trying to create something.
Or that new girl who I'm a party, walking party. I'm a drink in a glass. I'm a fun time.
Reminds me of you.
I'm a holiday on ice. So like, whatever she's saying. I don't know why.
She so reminds me of you.
Repulsive? Like, what?
No.
Short?
Short?
Short of herself.
Oh, short of herself.
I thought she was actually blended in relatively well. I mean, that would be a tough gig to come in brand new.
I think she's doing great.
Try to fit in, not look like you're trying too hard. And I thought they did a really good job of putting that together where she felt like sort of one of them automatically.
I mean, again, Sally Salzano, right? I mean, that's what I no give question. Credit to. She's the one who cast these guys.
I feel like I could go into that group and fit in just fine. I don't know whether that's just me.
You?
I feel like I could go in there and
In the respect that you would do nothing but roll around and fight with them and be just as crazy as
if
them.
If I needed to.
That's
how
you'd fit in.
Yeah, well, I kind of just think that... I think that like it's not that hard to go into a group of people. Like I think that a lot of people are less welcoming than this cast is. You know, you've got Mike's Situation. He's always going on about how they're a family. The only people in the house that absolutely suck about it, about welcoming people, are Ron and Sam. And we'll talk about them later.
Right.
Two
psychos. You would go, Roxy, you would go into that house. You'd start pouring the drinks. You'd be great. And then... because you can't keep your mouth shut and you can't keep your opinions to yourself, you would totally say something wrong to one of those guidettes and there would be a throwdown. And there's no way you'd back down.
Yeah, but what am I going to say to them? You guys are trashy. You suck. You're ugly. Nothing.
Because you wouldn't even do that. That's not who you are. That's just someone who's cruel. It's just, it might be something like they sit too close to you or they ate garlic. It'll be something. And you're not the one who holds back.
Now, let's not forget Snooki in the first season too. You know, I feel like Roxy would go over that line where she would get too belligerent. And remember Snooki, that's how she came in.
And then she came back and apologized and all that, but this one's not apologizing.
I would not apologize.
That's right, there you go.
But I do have that. She'd be great. I do have a little Snooki side of me, not in that sense, but in the sense that sometimes when I'm watching the show, I feel bad for, like, Sam, you know, when Snooki was like, okay.
Because you're like Snooki, because Snooki feels bad for
you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a side of me that I would want to be inclusive. So that's why I feel like I'd fit right in, you know? I'd try to.
You'd fit into the madness of your different time. We're going to wait. Listen, everyone remind me at the end of the show, I want to ask Brent, because he just met you. By the end of the show, he's the guy that puts people like you on these shows. I want to know at the end. It'll all be nice. There's no right or wrong in this. You know, you'd be great on any. I think you'd actually be great television, but great. I don't see you toasting with them and having a fun sweet fest.
Maybe
with these
for a
guys.
Week, I could do it for a week.
I think 2 days.
And Angelina did that too.
I'm in. Send me on.
But just the return. For the return to Jersey, I like
did
it.
Get sidetracked a little bit.
Well, kind of maybe, but I'm just, you know, in talking about whether they're famous or not. I like now that grenade. You know, there's no avoiding these grenades, and now these grenades are following them.
Yes.
As we got it.
And no matter what, as Brent, you were saying, they get so drunk that they revert to what they were.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
3 a.m, a guy is still a guy, and he's going to take a grenade or a chode home.
Absolutely.
And so that's the good news. And, you know, they're all, and oh my God, nasty looking.
I know. So gross. God. But that was a big question of mine. Like, when we saw them in Miami, we decided that promoters didn't want them to come to the clubs, that it would turn people away, sure. Whatever. But do you think in the Shore?
No, opposite. Open
effing
doors.
Like, so people are going to Karma because they know going to Karma.
Here's a question.
And that's why we have all these grenades.
Do you guys think, and I wrote this down as a question, do you guys think that summer tourism and stuff and is up there?
That's what I was saying.
Do you think
without question?
Definitely. Down in Miami, up in the Shore. That's what's going on here.
So you think more people now, like in the summers, are like, you know what? I'm not going to go down to Nantucket or the Vineyard or
I'm going to the Shore.
Well, I think if you're making a trip and out that way, anyways, you might want to see where they film it. You want to go to the club.
Okay, but what about people who are summer partiers?
I don't know if they're at home booking plane tickets.
I'm saying summer partiers. But are they?
I would say, like, if I'm going with my family.
What do you eat
Nantucket,
summer? What do you do? You're a party girl.
I go to Plymouth. Okay, we go to Cape Cod. It's right before the bridge. And it's kind of similar to the shore, to be honest. Like, you know, we're just drinking by day, drinking by night, gym tan laundry all day. But a little, we don't have that pier, you know. We don't have that place with the rise and, I guess, the T-shirt shop.
So people, you think now are, like, maybe next summer?
I think if you're taking
there?
A trip with your friends, you're not going to Nantucket. You're not going to the Vineyard. You're going to the shore, you know. Like, people are less likely to go to Hamptons because
more
it's
now
more.
Because of the show. That's
more now because of the show.
I would say more now.
Definitely. Like, if I want to go have a great time, look at this show. Like, they're undeniably, other than Sam, they're having an awesome time. And if you're looking to have an awesome time, you go to the shore. My mom grew up going to the shore, you know. She tells me all these stories about it. But really, it was only people from Jersey, some from New York going. I think you've got people from Massachusetts going now. You've got people from Connecticut. You've got people from Florida even going there now.
Because of what they've done.
Yeah, like, people are going from all different places, I think.
All right, well, you know, did you guys notice, like, so talking about that, we touched on the T-shirt shop earlier, and I always get a little bored when they go to their jobs because, like, oh, come on, you know, it's not real. One of the things I've loved is the transformation of Danny the Boss, how he kind of was just – do you remember?
He was such a hard ass.
Hard ass
season,
and also kind of like a nerd. And that, but now he's in really good shape.
Yeah. Wouldn't Maria point out he was like wearing the necklace and he let the guy put the glasses on?
Yeah, now he's like, you know, you can see the TV bug has hit him, and he's letting the situation kind of do what he wants in there.
Does he pay them?
It's kind of funny.
No, they get the room.
Are you this is a brand question.
No, he wouldn't pay them. They would be.
He owns
the house.
He owns the house they live in.
Yeah.
So he owns the house. They work for him. He doesn't have to pay for employers for the month, and I'm sure he gets a lot more business for the shop.
Yeah, and they probably pay him a location fee for using the place, and they have free run of it whenever they need. And
yeah, so that's
a few. There's you know, there'd be a few sort of benefits to having him use that. And I think that was probably in the second season when they. There's an advantage to having them stay at the same place than they did in the first season too. So, they made some sort of a deal with
It seems to benefit him, but what does it benefit the show? I never caught on to it. Like,
I never know. I thought they'd drop it by now too.
Yeah, exactly. The first season they
dropped the hard work aspect, like the ice cream store and now this place.
Because
like,
again, you need them in a natural environment. You need them in. You know, it's like if you've seen it before. You're a celebrity. You move out to L.A. Everybody treats you like crazy. You go back home, and your mom's still asking you to take out the garbage. Like, you can fall into those patterns. Oh, yeah. So when they put them in the house, they strip out all the day-to-day sort of pampering celebrity elements from them, put them through routines that, like I said, they grew up in that world. That is who they are as a core. They spent 20-some-odd years being that person and a year and a half being a celebrity. It just takes a little bit of that, and bang, they fall right back into it.
So in the T-shirt place, you think?
Yeah, that pattern and that sort of day-to-day interaction is what brings out their natural personalities and who they are and what they do. And every day that they're there, you know, they're trying to have fun. They're trying to do stuff. They're trying to go out and have a life. And that's where those personalities end up intertwining with each other, and then the sparks fly and all the good stuff.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's like last season, I feel like there were five episodes in a row we didn't even see them at the ice cream shop.
Right.
It's like, if you're going to stick with it, stick with it. Have a little snippet every single week of them going in and us seeing them in that place or doing something different, or cut it.
And remember, the T-shirt shop also cost Angeline her slot on the show season one. But now it's like, you know, he totally said, no, situation, you can't walk away and go have a bagel or have breakfast. Like, you need to say, or you're going to get fired. That's not happening.
Yeah, it's not on the table.
I think that would be much harder to do just because – you're asking the audience to suspend some disbelief anyways. There's only so much.
We're past that.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty tough for him to be like, I'm going to fire you situation if you don't do this, and to have him be any real stakes there. So I think the idea is to have it be a pattern of their life, get the storylines that come from that. And while you probably didn't see in the other season is that, you know, they shoot hundreds of hours of stuff. And when big events happen, lots of stuff hits the cutting room floor because there's just no room for it.
So, you're going to have to come here more often. You're answering all my questions.
Well, I do what I can.
I don't know what to ask anymore. Jeez. Yeah.
Well, as we see the return, we have our family dinner. Now, I can tell you guys, in the Italian culture, you do not miss a Sunday dinner.
You don't
dinner.
Disrespect.
Very disrespectful. And so the fact that they missed this dinner, I thought they had been teasing a fight between the situation and Ronnie, but we didn't see it. We didn't see the argument, right? So it's coming later.
I don't know if that's even going to really be a big. I mean, the guys are different that way. They're never going to be into that mode, you know.
They always say you forget, but do you know situations?
They'll yell at each other. They'll put it on the table, and then they'll squash that, and off they go. 5 minutes
it's
later,
on
and that's
going to
be good.
It's right. It's on to the girls, but right. If you notice, there was the tension between situation Ronnie and Sammy season one, and then there were little moments. With you know him saying Mike and getting all like aggravated with him, and then he said F that family shit, stop, you know, in the morning, you know, right. With Mike. And then if you notice, Mike's kind of like a little gossip queen. When they were gone at the at church, it was Mike who was immediately dogging them, saying they missed dinner.
As far as I know, everybody loves the situation. And if you don't love the situation, I'll make you love the situation.
Yeah, and he did make me love the situation.
Yeah, he's done that very well. So he's got so I mean I thought for sure there would be some kind of confrontation between those two guys, but I do think one's going to come.
Well, I think what'll happen is it what's great is it's centered around Sammy. It's like it's that bros versus hoes thing, you know. It's like those guys should come first.
Dicks before chicks.
That's right. What they expect, right. With the guys' world, the code of theirs should come first, and it's just what's great about the show and what I think grabs people, which is a little weird, just my opinion.
Go ahead.
Is that they are so – the double standard between the way the guys react and the way the girls react, the way the guys treat the girls, what's acceptable in their little culture and their community is such a huge double standard that it's super appealing to watch
that. Like what?
Well, it's just like when you watch when the fight breaks out,
right?
And the guys are just sitting there watching and sort of laughing. And even when Ronnie's like – at the end of it, he's still playing Mr. Neutral. Like, he's a little bit Mr. Switzerland. Like, oh, how's it go? Did it go? Oh, I thought you did okay. Like, in the real world, like, if that was my wife and there was an issue.
You're right. You'd be like, what the?
She would be on. You know what I mean? Like, somebody would – I'd be in there going crazy. But they don't do that.
No.
Because to them, the way they have their – they treat women a little bit different. They're a little bit – the guys are very dominant. And they like that. And I think that it's a visceral response for people when they watch that. And they've created this sort of dominance over this group of girls that they have. And they always make the girls fit into that slot. And then they can be, you know, king on the mountain watching all their little
peasants
run around.
And they are clearly the ones having fun again. Roxy, hear what you're going to say, because I have something to say.
I was going to say, I almost feel the opposite. I feel like they're watching it because these girls, they're fighting and – the guys don't know. Like, if I was ever fighting with another girl, my guy friends immediately would pull us off of each other. Didn't want us to fight.
So what I'm saying is,
no, they're letting the girls do their own thing. They're not trying to control the situation, I feel like.
Yeah, but that's because
they're there for their amusement.
The girls are there for their amusement. It's like I'd be with my kids, and my kids are arguing with something. Like, I'm not going to get right about what they're arguing about.
And once again, did you notice this? We're seeing what happened last year. We're seeing this year, at least with this episode. You see JWoww and Snooki going home early. My big knock last year on JWoww is I don't like JWoww in a relationship. She does a little bit of dancing for a few minutes, and then she leaves the club at 11 o'clock.
But here's what's crazy. I mean, if you strip out the fact that it's a show, and you just look at what happened tonight, Ronnie was not angry with Snooki. He wasn't angry with JWoww.
No.
Like, how do you get away with that? Like, if my wife or somebody that I was close to or cared about got in a screaming, crazy physical altercation, I couldn't be friends with that person.
Yeah.
I couldn't be nice to that person. Not only would I not want to, I would be angry with them. I'd be swearing at them. And what does he do? He's like, he's not going to be mad at them.
Yeah,
that's her problem. Because
between you and my girlfriend. That's not me.
It's like, they're the king of the mountain.
But Brandon, I see that in L.A., I see that in a lot of relationships, actually. I really do, where I'll like a big attorney is married to, say, I don't know, a big producer or a big actress, let's say. And it's like, oh, no, we don't, you know, we keep it separate. And I'm like, ugh.
This is living in a house together. I mean, that's what I just found.
I find it deplorable because I agree with you, but I'm saying I don't find it abnormal. I see it a lot.
But you guys just gave two examples of married couples. These They're not married.
Right.
So you're saying is hooking up with other girls.
So you're saying because it's a light relationship.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's fluff because clearly, like, well,
but lighter, when but, it's not, but it's not.
Like, way lighter than marriage, absolutely.
Or like a, but even though he's even. But what I find is. Long-term girlfriend, right? If you were with a girlfriend for a year.
It wouldn't matter.
I would defend her. If I was with a girl for a year, forget it.
But that's not the way they are. This is like such old school, like, kind of that. You know, 1930s guy mentality.
Is he so self-immersed? I mean, Phil, we always liked how Ronnie would spin.
So self-immersed.
Oh, he's the spin doctor. I think he should. Let's get him 5 IQ points. He can go into politics.
So you be Ronnie. So remember, like last year, she would be
give me an example.
So it'd be like. It'd be like, I can't believe it. You cheated. I can't. You hurt my feelings. You made out with all these girls. I can't believe it. You totally hooked me.
Hold on. He would say, no. Well, why do you think I had to do that? Because you told me we were broken up. Yeah. And I didn't know how to deal with it, so that's why, you know, I felt like I needed some companionship in my life because a void was missing because of you.
Because of what you did.
Yeah,
because of what you did. Then what did we say before? You're playing with my head. What was
you're playing with my head. You're playing
with my feelings.
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt. Mari's back.
Mari, are you there?
I am here. Yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
Mari, how is your New Year going?
My New Year's going well. Everything's going well. Just catching up to the Jersey Shore. Glad it's back.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Don't you wish you were there with them? And can I tell you, Mari is the antithesis. Where Roxy's ready to go live with these people, and Mari is like the Mari. Can you imagine you living with these people?
I think it would be fun. It would be a whole new experience for me.
You would have no problems with these people because you would know enough to keep your mouth shut. You'd be just like me in the corner, frightened.
You think that's what they like?
Yes, you fall in line.
Okay, wait, Mari, so who's going to be your best friend on the show? When you go and live there, who's your best friend?
It's like
either Nicole or J-Wow.
Right, okay. She's going to be prison bitch to J-Wow.
We're both short and small and, you know.
No, Mari's going to go and, like, cook for J-Wow, do her laundry, prison bitch. And then J-Wow's going to protect her.
Except for I don't know how to cook and I don't really do laundry.
All right, well, what do you do?
I think your analysis is off.
No, I'm totally on.
Because
Mari is a survivor. So, Mari, listen, I have an assignment for you because you're the New York reporter.
What's the assignment?
I want to find out more about Danny the T-shirt guy.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by him.
T-shirt guy.
Yeah, T-shirt guy. Like, you know what? Find out more about him. Like, maybe let's get him before the season's over.
But, I mean, he was taking crap.
Let's get him on the AfterBuzz.
Yeah,
that'll be my assignment. Get him on the AfterBuzz. I will get him on the AfterBuzz.
I feel like he's bland.
No.
I don't know.
I don't really love that they're working at a T-shirt shop. I think we had this conversation last season. Why do they have to have jobs?
You probably couldn't listen, so I don't want to bore the audience. But we did. Brandt, who's with us, is a reality show producer extraordinaire, and he'd mentioned why it's important. It's important to put them. In those environments. So to put them in some kind of regular environment.
I do want to say, though, I have some scoop for you. You know how you always talk about your theory
Did Rich make us any scoop music?
Not yet.
All right, we need a good... Okay.
Yeah, we got to come up... Not just scoop music. AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
That's right. Yeah. All right, so what do we have?
I'm going to think of something.
Okay, so this is my exclusive. So I met someone who worked on the Jersey Shore Season 3 in Jersey Shore, and they claim that the producers have absolutely no involvement whatsoever with everyone. I mean, obviously, like, the fight situation, you know, the security or whoever they were had to get involved between J-Law and Sammy. But other than that, this production assistant claimed that there's absolutely no interaction. She wasn't even allowed to talk to them, anything. No interaction. They tried to keep it as real as possible.
Comment, Grant Pinvitic.
Well, first off, I mean, there's definitely phone difficulty. Could we get a recap on that?
Yeah.
And let's switch to Verizon or something soon.
Yeah, Mari, are you on
Verizon? I'm on Verizon.
You're on Verizon. Well, you want
to switch back to AT&T or something.
Are you Skyping in or are you on cell phone? Is she Skyping in?
Sorry.
No? You're on cell phone calling in?
Yeah, well, I am on a telephone call again.
We may have to have you call back because you're giving us technical difficulties. But let me recap.
Yeah.
She said that she knows a producer of the show from season three who swears that the producers have absolutely no involvement in manipulating the storylines of this show, which is contrary to many of the reality shows.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well, I don't know. I want to hear what...
Well, here's what I can tell you for sure. There is absolutely no possibility that production assistant would have any contact with anybody from the Jersey Shore.
I thought she said producer. Did she say production assistant?
She said...
No, I said production assistant. Yeah, she was there the whole time.
That is 100% true.
The whole time.
You would never have a PA having any interaction. And 100%, there's no way that they are controlling any of the storylines. You don't need to with this group. What they do is they create real life situations to have them interact. So they would decide as a production, you know, they should be going to they're going to work on these days, we're going to film on these days, they're going to go to the club here, we're going to have that. But they would not be like, okay, Ronnie and Sammy, you guys are going to take the car on your own. They would never do that.
But do you think they say, like, can you guys pump out some more sayings?
Very unlikely.
You think?
Yeah, at this point, very unlikely.
No, I think
I think
that's the individual. Yes, but I think that's the cast. I think them saying, think of my brain.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? And God, I know we always get so excited with the show, we jump around with all our subjects. But Maria, you know, had made a really good point last week. Menounos, sorry. I'm always thinking everyone knows Maria. But she made a really good point. She watched the show with us tonight. And she couldn't be with us, unfortunately. But she said, you know, what she's seeing is a lot of tension between the cast because certain cast members have bigger careers now. And that tension, she's like, oh, no, I see lots of jealousy.
Yeah.
And you know, Sammy and Ronnie have not been able to parlay this like Snooki, JWoww, Situation, Pauly D, you know, and Vinny. And you're seeing that with them. And that was one thing Amory brought up, Shake Jealous. I'm telling you, 100%.
Before I watched the show, I didn't know Sammy, I didn't know Ronnie, and I didn't know Vinny. And I knew everybody else before I started watching. And that's the only thing that I can say is that, like, I can completely understand that. But it's like, shut up and suck it up. You're more famous now than you ever have been.
Right, and you can do something with it.
Yeah, like,
God, what about Ronnie's commercial? It really seemed lame, right?
He seems a little lame, forced. Man.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, listen, it's the thing that's embarrassing about that commercial is, so it's him, and then, like, right after him, it's this, like fat, unattractive girl.
Yes, thank you, Mari. I took so much crap in the screening, Mari. I was like, who's that pig? And they were like, you know... She's not a pig.
Yeah, well, she clearly lost a lot of weight and was working hard, so it was a rude comment, Kat.
But as a juxtaposition to Ronnie, who just, you know, was in front of 8.5 million people last week.
It's more the fact that she's a nobody, not that she's ugly. It's that, who the hell is
an ugly nobody? So at least
she's an ugly
nobody. Have a hottie there or something.
Okay, so the combination of the two is embarrassing for him, for sure. That's an embarrassing thing for Ronnie.
Yes,
I don't know. I mean, maybe to us, because we're quote-unquote in the business, but... Right. When you look at the rest of the country, that guy's got a commercial.
That's
true. Do you have a commercial?
But his commercial.
I don't have a commercial.
But I think people are smart enough to see like a low budget commercial where he's. I think congratulations to him, but I also think he was very stiff in it. It looked like a very cheap late night commercial. I know me always in manager mode. I know you're in producer mode and executive mode. I'm in manager mode. I wouldn't have wanted him doing that. You know, but he probably has no opportunities, but I'd be finding him stuff.
Yeah, and I think if you're in Kansas or Oklahoma, he's a star. Like, he's a TV star.
Know,
he's on a major TV show.
And I agree with that, but I would be finding him better stuff to do.
Well, I think Ronnie, weird as it is, I think he's at his best when he's just giving us snippets, you know, like the sit-down interview. And for some reason, like, that's the Ronnie I envision best. And
too big a stage for him.
And if you emulated that sort of format as in the commercial, right, he's standing and talking.
But the difference is that is where the producers really control what goes on. They don't do any of the storylines. But when it comes down to let's sit down and have an interview, that's where they go through what has happened that we filmed. What do we need these people to say? What do we need them to talk about? And that's where particularly Sally Ann, who does the show – is the best in the business by anybody I've ever met by a million miles. You put her in an interview with somebody, she can get you to feel anything, to say anything, to do anything. She knows how to get every question, every answer, every emotion in the right tone, the right way. And that's what really helps build this show, is that what happens in real time and you watch them and then they'll end up laying over these interview bites and this sit-down stuff that really just tie these stories together. And that's sort of the finesse of this show and how well it's produced and put together is those interview bites.
And that's
her. That's all her.
We'll talk about it during the special segment. Let's talk about Ronnie and Sammy. So we've spoken about
Ronnie. I hate Sammy.
Oh my God, I know everyone does.
I do not hate her.
No?
No, I do not hate her.
Oh, who are you?
I don't hate her either because she's pretty.
Yeah, I think he's the prettiest of the girls, but
no. She sucks.
I hate this woman. She's
really? She's furniture.
Exactly, she's described as furniture.
And you know something? That was from Deanna. And you know what? How appropriate. Sammy's boring. She said,
bland.
She's furniture. Why are you here?
Yeah.
Very poignant.
Exactly. To the point. Why is she there? Now, if she
has to be,
because
we're talking about her right now.
Okay, well, she has to be.
Career-wise, you could never walk away from that.
No, she's got to hang in the game. And it's not her choice. At the end of the day, it's not like she can decide, I think I'll stay or I think I'll go. I mean, she's a good character for the show.
Right.
She provides a lot of conflict, a lot of drama. That really helps. That really helps.
I agree.
As a character, and they need her. And she fills a big void. You can't just have a bunch of people partying and everything going great. Like, that's a real need. And
right,
she's
like
really
Angelina
good at
was
it.
Last yes. year.
But I can't keep watching it. It's one of those things where I like that we saw in the previews. We'll get to
like
it later.
Like we felt about Angeline.
Right.
We felt the same way about her. And the flat had to get replaced.
Exactly. Like, you can only cause the same conflict for so long. You don't like my boyfriend. You don't like me. You are a trashy whore. You, like, all right, I've heard all these insults. Come up with something clever to say.
I think Ronnie needs to get back to his deal where, you know, he goes to the clubs, gets his girls there, and then goes back to his shore thing.
That's
what her purpose should be.
Just sit at home in the pajamas with the glasses.
Well, listen, I'll say something wildly controversial about her. And it comes from a line my brother used to use back in his day when he was dating a lot, is that he would date a girl and somehow she would grow self-respect and it would ruin the relationship. And what I think is that Sammy's grown a little self-respect and she's not fitting in with the rest of the girls in the way they let the guys treat them.
Yeah.
And that is causing her to be alienated and it's a weird dynamic.
Well,
and that's what's causing everything. And yes, she's acting like furniture right now because she's out of place and she doesn't want this relationship where Roddy can do whatever. And it's like, it's all sort of weirded
out.
Well,
it's always been part of her personality. So I was rewatching the first season just to see what ties I can make to this one. And in the first episode, Snooki sort of pukes everywhere. And Sammy's like, ew, get away from me. You have puke breath. And like, so she is that sort of queenie, you know, she's always been like that.
Yeah. She has been, but it's interesting. Like she, at least danced, and just the first year it was like, and then last year was kind of a bridge year almost, like, and now this is like, she maybe has grown up a little bit. I mean, she's ready to, you know what it is, Brent? She's ready to get fat and have kids. She's ready to just Fridays and Saturday nights, just rent movies with the boyfriend and have an amazing, boring life and bitch at her husband. Like, that's what she's ready for.
I think what she's ready for is a boyfriend that wouldn't cheat on her, that all of those things, like, she's sort of looking at herself and be like, maybe I should be in a better relationship, and that's why she's having so much trouble.
But you think she'd be fun if she was? If she's
I don't
so,
know.
She has
I think
boy,
so.
So she has the guy, the perfect
I don't think
guy.
She's a fun bone in her body.
Oh,
yeah.
I
no,
don't know.
Here's the thing.
I would like to
she
explore
is,
the fun
quote,
bones in her body.
No, and to quote Peter Horahan, Peter H., she's as much fun as what, Phil?
As a bag of wet hair.
As a bag.
Now, for me, I have a friend who goes to parties, and what I call, as soon as the fun meter hits 55, gotta get out.
That's
gotta
right.
hit the eject button.
I have. No. Come in late, leave early.
This is the problem with Sammy. If it had just been that she doesn't, that she struggles with her relationship with Ron, then that's one thing. But it all goes back to the letter. That's what I all see it going back to in season two. We see the letter. And who does she take it out on? She freaks out.
Like most people do.
She freaks out on
the
girls.
On the external parties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fine if she looks at herself. She has a little self-respect. She realizes, this guy cheated on me. He lied to me. I'm getting famous. I could be with a million guys. That's one thing. But to take everything out on these girls who actually were trying to help you.
Right.
I just don't like her personality. I just don't like the girl.
Yeah.
You know?
I still think that comes a lot from the guys. And the way
the dynamic
that they've created. And I think what, ironically, Sammy sort of said the thing that hit on the nail on the head for me, which was,
how would you be if I did that to you? And my response when we were watching was like, well, that would never happen. It's a non-issue.
Yeah.
I mean, picture that. They're dating and Sammy has sex with her. You never see her again. Ronnie's not going to be like, oh, baby, baby, I want to get back with you. Why did you do that to me? He'd be like, oh, poof, gone.
Gone.
Yeah, he said.
And he'd never think about it again. And he wouldn't lose a night of sleep and like have that relationship. And those guys, but by the way, those guys celebrate that attitude. That's what they are. They got to have women that are disposable.
You have to.
And the fact that they can live that life.
Great life.
And have disposable women like that follow them makes people like us just.
Oh, please. You would love. You that's why you like it too. Thank you.
I'm the disposable girl.
No, you have the guys disposable.
You don't know this one, Brent. When you get to know
you like the guys. You're attracted to the guys that have enough game that can have disposable women. Women don't want.
She disposes of the guys.
Now, all right. So in another show on Desperate Housewives edition, Roxy was telling us how over Christmas break she hooked up with one of her best friends or whatever, I don't know, and the friend didn't like it, but she already hooked up with him and then probably like 10 other guys.
Then
so who knows
again. You know what, I just don't like guys that like they'll come back to you no matter what. It's like
Roxy's drunk. She can't walk two blocks, so the guy gets a limo, pays $300 for the limo to go two blocks. And the next day,
that's not a guy you're going to be interested in.
You know, he called me yesterday, and he was like, wow, I did just – he called me. I'm not from the Jersey Shore. He didn't call me. He called me. He called me, and he was like, hi, babe, can I come over? And I was like, no, I'm tired. I'm like, hang out with another guy.
Mari, are you there?
He's disposable.
Mari, is this the anti-Mari? Roxy, Mari is Roxy from the parallel universe. Earth 2 Roxy. Mari, like, this is...
Give it to me, Mari. Go ahead.
That time when I was in college.
Yeah,
I had that time.
No, you, Mari. Stop it. Will you?
I did. I don't really anymore.
Mari, you're a Northwestern girl? Yes?
Sorry?
Northwestern girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
So different than USC. I mean, Roxy's a USC sorority girl.
A little bit. I'm telling you, this is the anti.
Oh my God!
Roxy.
Don't roll your eyes at me.
No, yeah, that was like,
she's a walking
that's
stereotype.
So hot roll.
Let's listen. Let's keep it with the show. Now, and I don't know if this is news and gossip, but they announced they're broken up, right, Ronnie and Sammy, as of now, current time, not
they
TV.
Are. We do have that in our news and gossip.
Yeah, yes. News and gossip.
Okay, why would you just spoil that?
We'll get to it.
We'll find out how. We'll in the news and gossip, we'll find out how they broke up and why.
Well, we could see there's going to be a corrosion with these two as it goes on, but there's a bigger issue. It's Sammy versus the entire house. Because now even the situation, nobody wants to be around her.
Right.
And by the way, looking at her what did she expect was going to happen down when they were going
on the walk?
Yeah,
well,
Mari.
She was not expecting everybody to go that night. She just wanted to go.
So stand there and pout all night?
Yeah.
But then she still went, and she was ridiculous, just standing on the boardwalk, pouting the entire time. When even your boyfriend says to you, you are just sitting there pouting, she's just ridiculous.
She must have been.
And I think Snooki called her to his face, that's totally what she was.
Dude, the problem is that he's not going to them saying, stop being mean to my girlfriend. He's going to her saying, stop being such a wet rag. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which is so... Like,
Ryan wanted to say that too to her.
It's non-productive.
But they were being mean to her. They didn't even say anything to her that night. Right. Like, when they're all out
but they here. Were just... Listen, obviously, if you're the one girl that nobody likes, like, the situation can be all of them. Of course, they can have fun with each other. How easy is that? And, like, she's going to be standing there by herself.
Yeah, but
they weren't being very inclusive. You
Sammy
know?
Said it perfectly. No. Sammy said, I don't want to have fun with these people. If you don't want to have fun with people, you're not going to have fun with people.
That's
you
true.
Know, like... I
you know what, Brent? It's funny. Not if you had to, and I don't want to play the F, Mary, Kill game because that's old. But if you had to date one of those girls, I'm hearing you talk, I actually think it would be Sammy.
It might be. It might be.
I think Sammy would be
the one
I would date.
Off the show, but on the show.
Oh, no, I think that Sammy brings down whatever guy she's with. All right. I think she will.
Mari, you're calling from Mars.
Listen.
Mari, your phone keeps breaking up.
The reason why she brings down Ronnie is kind of a cream puff. He's kind of a wuss.
Right.
He really plays the role, but in essence, he's kind of a little bit of wussy. He always will somehow revert to that, oh, please, baby. Oh, what's going on with you, baby?
Yeah, he wants to cuddle at the
That's
end.
Right.
He wants
well,
to come
a wussy player, then,
yeah.
I guess.
Not even, I think he's
passive-aggressive.
Not quite at that level. You know what I mean? Like, you'd never see Mike making some
of
the stuff.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
He can only, like... Like, even that night he went nuts last season,
right.
It was like one night, and that was it. He was blown out. He gave it his all. Yeah. It's like the athlete that just has, like, right. the one amazing
yeah.
game.
Right.
And then he's done.
And you remember the...
He definitely can't keep
and
it
And that
up.
Was because his friends in that season, you know, they ragged him on. You know, obviously,
right.
one rule, never fall in love with Jersey Shore. They
violated
like,
the rule right from the beginning.
That's yeah. a big problem.
But so I think he has a tough exterior. Obviously, like, he's, you know, he's ripped and huge, whatever. But, you know, deep down, he's... You know, it's a facade.
Here's
what
I find it a little bit because you remember the episode where he got in a little bit of the fight on the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Kinda, season one.
Four,
kind of
yeah.
pushed the girl, kind of gave her a little bit of a push, and it turned into this big thing. You know, push me, and I was like, and instead of just being like, listen, you were going off at the mouth.
Yeah,
like shut up. You're lucky I didn't slap you across the face. Like. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way his persona is. But what would he really go to? He went to, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Why did I do that?
Uh-huh.
You know? And it's like, that's his core.
And we
his
saw
core
that
is
too.
Wuss. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he's got lots of bravado. And when it comes down to, Sammy brings out extra wuss on him. Because if I was dating her on or off the show, I wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah.
That'd be a non-issue. That would not go through this whatsoever.
Right.
And she wouldn't be a wet rag. She would be... Should be good time girlfriend.
Should be a dry round.
That's right.
Okay, listen. So we're gonna before we go to commercial, just want to give you a heads up. We're gonna have our special segment. We'll break down Miss Sally Ann Salsano, find out her whole deal. We'll do news and gossip, and we'll do predictions. But right now, let's go to commercial.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig.
Don't come off. That wig. Come off, baby.
No! What?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it.
Be sure to catch AfterBuzz TV's Big Love Edition following the season premiere on Sunday night. And coming on Wednesday, January 19th, we'll be buzzing about the new season of American Idol. Only on AfterBuzz TV.
Rich always still makes me laugh. Okay, as we promised our special segment, we're going to talk about the legendary Ms. Sally Ann Salsano. And I had thought for the longest time that she was just kind of a phenom who came out of nowhere. And sitting with Brandt, I learned that she has a much longer and more storied history.
Yeah, she was started her time on The Bachelor.
Okay, so you had said that you kind of put her on her, made her showrunner for
yeah,
her
like
show.
One of her very first showrunning jobs was a show I created and sold to Fox called Secret Life of a Soccer Mom, and she ran the show exclusively on her own, and it was a big job, and I had to really fight for her to get the job. And the one thing I remember more than anything about her is that it's the first person I'd ever been with in a producing situation in the field with people that was better than I was with people. Because a lot of my skill is to be able to get things out of people and to make them feel comfortable. And I would work with contestants, and I would always be that person on the set that worked with the contestants, that worked with the stars, that worked with them to get them comfortable, to make them feel great, to get them to do the scene properly, to get the information. And so that had always been my role. So in this show, it was going to be no different. And watching her, it was like, whoa, she was way.
How long ago was this?
Boy, this is now 5 years ago.
And this is when you first met her?
Yeah, this is when I first met her. It was the first show she'd worked on with me. So
what had she done before then?
She had worked, you know, a lot with the Mike Fleiss company on, like, The Bachelor and what. She was one of the original sort of story producers and co-EPs on The Bachelor. And that's where she sort of honed those skills. She originally actually came from talk shows like Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh, way back in the day.
And so she had learned in an early life that – you know, it was kind of a produce at all costs mentality. And I've never seen anybody be so good at that. Like, if you need something on the screen, Sally Ann Santa, we'll get it on the screen for you.
Wow.
She's one of the best at that. So we, you know, in that show, I almost did nothing because she was so good at that in that side. So
did you know she was going to, I mean, be a force to be reckoned with?
Absolutely, without question. No question, I knew it was going to be. And so she, when she finally started her own company and went on her own, when I was at the head of the network, I instantly reached out to her to try to get her on shows.
When
right
you were
away.
At TLC.
When I was at TLC, because I just knew, you know,
and she wasn't available at that time. By then.
Yeah, there was some scheduling problems and exclusivity issues because she did the big show for HGTV. The Design Star was one of her first big breaks, turned into a massive hit for them. So, but she's an unbelievably hard worker. Like she's the person on the set with the walkie talkies. Got three of them hanging from her belt. Like. She works every day on the show like that. She's that person. So this show really was born through her personal experience. She's from the Jersey Shore, literally. You know, her production company, 495 Production, is for the interstate that runs through there. So this is really funny. So connected to her life. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of a little she's kind of a snooki.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a director. And I one of the things I pride myself on is I think I've – really good at casting.
Yeah.
And the first week of the show, I was like, I said, you know, Maria, I go, they missed it on this. I said, this is terrible. I said, this was produced by a bunch of ugly women because they gave us attractive guys and they gave us these beasts for women. And I was like, it's not going to work. You know, you could go to the Jersey. You can find like good looking Italian girls. They're maybe not going to be tens down there, but you can get like, you know, girls that you get, you know, and boy, was I wrong?
She's one of the best. I mean, because she did Tool. Genius. Yeah, she did Tool Academy for VH1.
Oh, she did that. Wow.
And that was a casting genius.
And that did really well.
Did
for them.
Very well.
Three
and
it was
seasons? It was one of her big sort of
she
one of her first big
too?
Things. Yeah, that's something that she created.
Do you guys remember Tool Academy, Roxy, Phil?
I don't.
What was the premise? Was getting a bunch of tools.
It was the idea is that you know, nice girl has the douchiest boyfriend in the world. The show originally was called Douchebag Academy. And it was basically like, you have the worst boyfriend in the world. Yeah. We're going to sort of train him to be a good boyfriend. And that was like an exhibition in perfect casting.
What else has she worked on?
She did Design Star, which was one of the, you know, that big one that she did for them. And then Tool Academy was the other huge monster one that she did. She did Dance Your Ass Off for Oxygen, which was a big show there too.
Jeez.
And then been really, Tila Tequila.
She's all over the place.
So she just she understands the culture so well. She knows how to deliver, and she works she just outworks people.
I hear she's got a bunch of flat panel TVs in her room and to be able to watch these guys constantly
During production.
Yeah.
She. That's awesome. She's there. Like she's the one that will sleep in the edit bay. Like, listen, she's made millions of dollars now over the years.
Yeah, she has.
But she worked also for years. Without getting paid a penny, just slaving to try to
lesson
get stuff done.
Lesson to everyone out there in this business. You hear that, Roxy? Who's the one mouthing off, Phil, that you said was mouthing off?
Roxy, because she doesn't get paid for doing Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
Meanwhile, a surprise.
Meanwhile, here she is talking to Brent. And meanwhile, we didn't get him this week, but we're in talks next week to get a castmate to call in.
Except for the fact that you told me I'm suspended for that.
And why are you suspended, Roxy? Give us the Roxy explanation.
Why are you suspended?
Because I was supposed to call in while I was in Boston, but I got too drunk and I forgot.
Holla.
Very holla.
Because in honor of the Jersey Shore, I was celebrating
the show.
But
you can't hang? We all drank too, but we hit our marks.
Okay, but the time, it was different. It was later there, and I was confused.
Fine, let's get back, please.
That's why it's only a one-game suspension.
One-game suspension.
But what's great about Sally is that the Jersey Shore really, you know, very likely was not going to be on MTV. It's not a format show that you naturally go pitch to networks. It's not something that would be an easy thing to understand. If you can imagine trying to explain this to a network, hey, I want to do a show about guys, people from Jersey. They don't know each other. They're not friends ahead of time. I'm just going to stick them in there. It's a very tough sell. Very tough sell considering they sort of have that show in the real world. It's a little bit of a version of that.
Does anyone here remember True Life, Staten Island, and also True Life, I Live on Staten Island, True Life, My Summer at the Jersey Shore?
Absolutely.
Do you think that those inspired this?
I don't didn't help, inspire it.
No.
But what it did was it did show when the network goes to, hey, can we take a chance on this? They would pull up those things and say, well, you know,
well, it worked there.
True Life Staten Island did well.
We all remember those are famous, you know, legendary True
and
Life.
Sally told me a story about when they were filming it and they had no idea if the show was going to go or go well or where it was going to be placed or was it going to get on the air. And she remembers filming it saying, oh my God, like this is a massive hit. And she invested everything she had into it. It was
so not only okay. So
it was make or break.
Not only didn't get paid all the years,
for years and years right, and years.
Now she puts out her own money.
Oh, absolutely, all of her own money. I mean, this was her own company by this point, so she was her own money deep, 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 deep into it, and time,
Roxy,
and everything.
Are you listening?
Everything on the line.
Phil, you listening? Everybody, I'm loving this.
You
woman.
Guys are the young yeah. people here.
I love her.
I'm just saying that this is the one
and
of the one of the biggest problems we have.
With her.
Not just in our business, but in business in general, is everyone just like show me the money? It's like right. No, it's actually the other way around.
Yeah, it takes...
Show me the amount of work I need to do.
Exactly.
And show me how much money I need to spend.
Yeah. And so now, of course, you know, things have gone very well.
Yeah.
And it did very well. So she's certainly reaped the rewards for all the hard work that she's put in. So.
Well, I have a question for you. You said pitching this to networks or whatever, how would you do it? Now, you know, that it's unusual. Now, what is this, quote, usual way?
Well, the usual way when you have a show, it usually is a backbone, a format, a system. Survivor is 16 people. We're going to put them on an island. They're going to vote each other one by one, and the last one standing gets $1 million. Okay, I got it. There's the format. Or here's a story. It's Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson. They're pop stars, and they're going to get married, and we're going to follow their lives. And you go as a network, okay, I could buy into that. So when you come and say, I've got a bunch of people that don't know each other, and they're going to –
And you don't know
you
them.
You don't know them. And we're going to make them live together in the Jersey Shore, but they're going to be great characters, and you're going to fall in love with them. That's a tougher sell. You know, and they, like I said, they had Laguna Beach. They had the hills. They had sort of real world. So this wasn't a clear cut, oh, obviously we need this. This was really – the cast was spectacular. It was produced amazing, and you just could not stop watching. And that's how that show was born. So, I mean – I wouldn't say it's a lucky thing, but it's a very tough road to get a show like that on.
It's interesting to me that she's from Jersey, that you said, because the only people that I talk to that actually cannot stand to watch the show are from Jersey.
From Jersey, yeah.
So
yeah.
It seems like the person who was putting on the show like is kind of mocking them, but no, she's...
No, it's what she... I mean,
yeah, grew up with.
She grew up with it.
Yeah,
and
okay.
She's only one... One shot at tequila away from being Snooki.
Yeah.
Like,
and I also think, you know, it's we. I okay, here we go. Here's a real stupid name drop. Carol Channing. Do you know that mm-hmm. name? But she was breaking down for me the difference between artist and admirer. And an artist, which Sally is in her in this field, mm-hmm. an artist can step away and go, oh, my God, I appreciate this.
Yeah.
This thing. And the admirer, you know, can't. So the people down on the Jersey Shore who are living it every day, they can't appreciate it. But like for me, I've always said Boston. I've said
I think the biggest problem why people from the Jersey Shore don't like it is because they feel like that should be them. They watch it and be like, oh my God, my life
yeah,
is
my
just
funny.
As good.
I'm
just as funny. I say all those same things. I mean, I look at that and be like, oh my God, that was me when I was 21 years old in Canada, Whistler for the summers.
I love that you told me. I'm so happy for and you. I was never able to have that, which is why I watched the show because I wanted.
What did you do in the summer?
I worked always working. I was down the vineyard for, at that age, but I worked. I had like three jobs down there, but I worked. But I had fun.
You worked a little bit,
just
bit. Not like these guys. These guys do it right. My spring breaks. I always worked. I was a knucklehead. But that's why I'm the type of guy who's gonna have like the massive like midlife crisis and just a complete meltdown and breakdown
because of
this. It happens all the time.
Spring break. I just decided I think I'm going to Punta Cana.
We're not invited this year.
Maybe you guys want to come.
I thought we were all going to where were we going.
Mardi Gras is not over spring break.
Okay, so where are we going? Where are we?
You're coming with us to Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he actually can roll. He might be able to come for like 2 days.
Oh, I can roll.
Well, we may have to take AfterBuzz with us.
Yeah, we could
cover Roxy's.
Yeah, we could. We could do the shows from down there. Actually, that would be fun. That's a good idea.
That'd be funny.
Where is this?
I'm either doing Mardi Gras or Ultra because my a lot of my girlfriends aren't going to Mardi Gras. They're going to Ultron.
Sorority girlfriends you're speaking of?
Of course.
Any other questions?
Eye roll again.
Listen, before we go on to news and gossip, we have any other questions for Brant?
I mean, you said personality wise, she's one drink away from being Snooki. So, like, what's her fun time? You know, you said she's a hard worker and whatnot. You know, what's she like when she's not working?
She's just big and crazy and loud. That's who she is 24 hours a day. So when she's, you know, pushing all that energy towards work, it's magic. And when she's pushing all that energy towards party fun, whatever, it's magic too. I mean, she's a big ball of fun. She's 4 foot two, you know?
Wow.
Like, she's
literally could almost be a snook. Like, you could almost put her right in the midst of that. Like, she's just awesome. Big and fun and loud and crazy and wild and great.
Well, God bless her. I just look forward to more and more stuff from her. Let's cue up news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Snooki talks about her love for bushes in the latest clip from the Jersey Shore on MTV.com. Yeah, she said she likes to poop in bush.
Bush, hide in a bush, pee in a bush.
Yeah, that ruined about a minute of the show for me.
You weren't into that?
Just so gross.
Just whoop, shuts me right down.
Anyway, seen Snooki and JWoww video parody of Joy Behar yet? Well, Joy has hit back on The View, and he says, I didn't know they allowed cameras in the AA meetings.
This is Joy. Okay, this is, do you know Joy Behar?
Mm-hmm. No, she asked
There's another name for the honest
Joy. So wait, so Snooki and JWoww?
Snooki and JWoww did a parody video. It's online. Go check it out.
Making fun of Joy Behar?
Yes, and then she retaliated.
I said, yeah, I didn't know the
character. But the thing I omitted from this was that Joy Behar was I didn't realize I was that big a celebrity where they would parody me. I felt it was a little too mean spirited, but there I go.
Yeah, I think it's rude. I can see some kind of piece being made and them doing her show.
It's maybe
good television.
Well, speaking of AA meetings, Snooki assured fans that she doesn't have a drinking problem. She's just a 23-year-old normal girl. She said, I'm good. I only party during the summer like that. It's not like this all year round.
I guess that's everybody's interpretation. Is that normal?
I would say social. Probably. She seems like a social drinker to me. I don't think she's advanced alcoholic.
This is what everybody always tells me. As long as you're in college, it's fun. When you're out of there, you're an alcoholic. I don't know.
So what, in 2 years, you're going to be an alcoholic?
I guess.
College is one big AA course.
Good.
Snooki revealed that she wants people to call her by her real name. She misses hearing people call her Nicole. For the most part, at least, when it comes to her TV life, her castmates Jenny, JWoww, Farley, and Sammy are really the only ones who use her real name all the time.
Well, I can see that. I mean,
she's crazy. Just a Snooki. I can't call her Nicole.
Dude, if I ever get famous for any name, I don't care if it's Shithead. I am going to be Shithead all day, all night, all the time.
Yeah, as long as
you know what I mean? Like, Snooki is her identity, right?
Right, as long as it earns.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, I don't know, guys. Anyway, a lot of news on Snooki. Snooki went on David Letterman and told viewers 10 reasons why they should buy her book. They are 200 pages of hangover cures.
Number 9.
Right.
If you're watching The Jersey Shore, then your standards can't be too high.
Number 8.
JWoww gave it 5 wows.
Number 7.
It's so good. Pauly D wants to learn how to read.
Number 6.
Show me the receipt and I'll grind with you at any nightclub of your choice.
Number 5.
Includes helpful tips on how to clean Ron Ron juice out of your Camaro.
Number 4.
If everybody buys the book, the economy will be fixed.
Number 3.
Comes with a blank page where you can stick your gum.
And number 2.
If you don't buy this book, I'll send a greased up Guido to your house.
And the number 1 reason Snooki went on David Letterman to say why you should buy her book is
the finest work of literature ever written by an author named Snooki.
Oh, where's Paul J. for accusing
you? You have it on Kindle, right, KWoww?
Yeah, I do.
What page are we on?
I made it to about page 15.
It's that hard of a read? Like, what's going on?
No, it's actually a fast and simple read. I just haven't had the time.
I gotta tell you, my favorite is the blank page where I can put my gum. I do that all the time. How'd she know?
Yeah.
She just knows.
By the way,
so
did Letterman's writers write that, you think? It seems like it's too smart for her.
Oh, definitely. 100%. She's not writing.
Her publicist didn't write that. Okay, next one.
It seems, even in this year, and even in this new season, there's still Angelina news since she can't seem to stay out of trouble. But at least this time, it's probably going to cost her. Oh. She was scheduled for a celebrity boxing match in Atlantic City, but decided to skip out. She is being sued, and it could wind up costing her more than $50,000. For now, though, celebrity boxing is fining Angelina a minimum of $1,000 for just bailing on the match in the first place.
Oh, I don't see
I'm the Kim Kardashian of Staten Island, baby.
I mean, I just can't believe she would not show up.
I don't see a lot of
What else do you have in your life?
Literally, what else does she have to do with her time?
I don't
know.
She
doesn't, I think, but just probably scared, embarrassed. She just wasn't...
People
guys,
get
she was not
very... But they also get very... delusional about their own perspective and where they fit in the world.
Right.
And that's a big problem.
Well, our next thing is that we have a little explanation, maybe. An explanation for Angelina skipping out may be that she's holding out for a fight between her and JWoww. She says she always likes to run her mouth, so I want to see how much she's really got.
Oh my God. Everyone wants to take on JWoww.
Yeah, JWoww will kill her.
Yeah, I think that's, instead of boxing, she was just thinking these things. No way. She must have been, like, passed out somewhere on a street corner.
Oh, this one is just,
anyway,
I can't even believe this.
Better things
one.
To do with her time. Going on.
Go.
Uh-oh. Chloe Sevigne. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Chloe Sevigne, star of Big Love, dismissed rumors the actress is dating Pauly D. They were spotted at a New York Knicks basketball game earlier this month, prompting the speculation.
Is that true? Hot blonde one, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big Love.
That is so not true.
I don't watch Big Love.
No, I mean, like, usually...
That is so not true.
Usually the actor-artist types don't end up with the cheesy reality people, but she's so artsy and kind of out there that, I don't know.
No.
No, definitely not. All right.
I give that
he
a definitely
not. He gives
it the
two thumbs
down.
Anyway, Holly Madison has a new man, but her Holly's World sidekick, Angel Perino, is still looking for love. So Holly has big plans for who to set up her friend with, to set her friend up with Pauly D. Wait. I want her to date DJ Pauly D. They're both Italian stallions, and they both have bedazzled laptops. Ew, gross. Luckily, Pauly just so happens to be setting up camp in Vegas soon to shoot his MTV spinoff series.
By the way, Roxy just learned how to read.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a stutter.
You're like a 4.0. You're a really smart girl. What's this about?
You know, sometimes I just I get so excited. I read ahead.
I've been admiring her smart.
Who's Holly Madison? I'm sorry.
What was it? The Girls Next Door? The Hugh Hefner girls.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
Wait, is she that blonde one who used to be really hot and now isn't so hot?
No,
like
still,
that's Kendra.
She's still hot.
Oh, that's Kendra.
Kendra's still hot.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway,
they're all still hot.
While Pauly D plans to shake things up for a spin-off new series, he has no plans to ever ditch his famous spiked hairstyle. He says, nah, I really like this look. I like the hairstyle. I think it's me. Everybody knows me from it. Never changed it. Had it before the Jersey Shore, and I want to keep it too.
Good for you. I mean, it's like with the going back to the Snooki comment, you know, just keep it. Just go with it.
I can't picture him.
Whatever you got.
Can you picture him with like Donald Trump hair, a little comb over or something?
Yeah.
Jesus,
bad look.
It's
just become his trademark.
Anyway, Sammy and Ronnie have been described as our generation's Hepburn and Tracy, played out for their love
Who
for an audience.
Who has described them as what?
I don't know.
All right,
they played out their love for an audience over three seasons, but at last, it is no more. They are broken up, and it's all over Facebook. Clear as day, Sammy has unfriended Ronnie's friend. I believe the term is defriended. This seems to be the last
straw. Thank you for the invitation.
By the way, this is news from Ian Kaiser Sosa, so he described that.
Ian just back from India. He bought a wife over there.
Such a low blow to defriend somebody. Ouch.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show kicked off its third season with record-breaking viewer figures, 8.4 million. It's MTV's highest-rated series telecast ever. It easily beat the ratings for the season 2 premiere last year, which pulled in 5.1 million viewers.
Nuts.
MTV's
Nuts.
Chiefs are already in talks with the cast for season 4, which is set to return to Miami.
That answers that question.
Oh, phew, I'm going to sleep so much better tonight.
I know. I can't believe we got that many viewers, though. Well, anyway, that is your AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore news and gossip for the week, January 13th, 2011.
Thank you very much, Roxy. Okay, so you know, I know we went so long because we got so much good stuff out of you, Brant, but what are our predictions for next week? I know we're having –
two shows next week, a Monday show and a Thursday show. And Brent, you said they're doing that because
they probably want to promote something on the network.
It's so they use this as to launch.
It'll be a big
their monster ratings launch or something else. Yeah. Okay.
Are people gonna
Skins, Skins is airing the MTV show on Monday.
All right.
Oh, so there's a surprise.
Are we doing? Are you guys doing a show for Skins?
Well,
you probably are, right, Roxy? That seems like such a Roxy
definitely.
Show. Skins.
Well, it's Monday though. I've got Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl, Desperate Housewives, Skins, Jersey Shore. We'll do it all now.
Okay, we can do it all.
So, and what are we going to see next week, you guys?
We see a lot more of Sammy crying. I'm over that.
That will get tiring.
I just want to reach out and fix her.
We see Snooki getting arrested.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. Now, is that Monday or Thursday?
I don't know. But, you know, I can't tell with the Jersey Shore. They do these previews, and you never know when the hell anything is going to come up. But
deep teases.
Snooki just looked like she was...
What's that? That's a
deep... They're called deep teases.
And a deep tease is...
Stuff they take from all over the place, deep, deep, deep into the series, and put some great stuff that you may or may not see in the next episode.
So if you're predicting how long are we going to see... How long is it going to be until we see Snooki getting arrested?
That would probably be a Thursday episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they'll want to build when they're going to want to build the problem. If I'm picturing story, how I would do it, if I was building the problem with her drinking, hadn't quite, it's not up to the crescendo yet. We just got a little bit of it in this episode. We'll get a big pile of it more in the next episode. And then the entire Monday's episode is going to be previewing the arrest of Snooki. There's my prediction.
So I don't want to bridge. I hate bridge episodes.
Boo-hoo.
But no, we will.
There'll be lots of good stuff, Mike.
I know, okay. That's true. Right. There always is good
Brent,
stuff.
Brent, thank you so much for coming in, and hopefully you'll come join us many, many more times for this show and others. God, it's just...
Seriously.
I thought I knew everything. Like, wow. Like a whole new experience for me. So,
I thought you were smart, this one over here.
No, he's the man. He's the man.
Just kidding.
Thank you, everybody.
And cute, come on.
Yeah,
no,
he's handsome
looking.
Too.
Yeah, he's my girl. Jersey Shore name generator came out with the body for him. So.
Yeah, he got the body. Oh, that was a
Jersey
Shore name generator, not
the
you.
Body.
No.
There's a program that generates nicknames. Jersey Shore nicknames. You got the body.
Dude, I can. Very nice. This is the zone.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer Corey Sheehan, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com or buzz into our Twitter account or Facebook page by searching AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, bitches!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.